You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Matt talks about how encouragement is a catalyst for hope. On this Father's Day weekend, Matt gives us a guide on how to practice hope with Jesus.
Happy Father's Day, everyone. It's the one day a year where dads get showered with gifts bought with their own money. For real though, on behalf of all dads, we appreciate your heartfelt cards, your presents, your home-cooked breakfast, especially if it included bacon today, afternoon barbecues, and really all the extra love that you give us as dads. It's really a special day. One of the greatest joys in my life personally has been being a dad to my two sons, Hunter and Hayden. And I know you're watching out there, boys. I love you. In addition to the joys of being a dad is the gratitude of having a good dad. So since I have the mic and the internet's at my disposal today, let me just take a moment to thank my dad, Ken, who raised me in a home where it was easy to come to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior, where I grew up thinking I could do anything I wanted to, and I was encouraged all the time. Thank you, Dad. I love you. And in fact, in thanking our dads right now, why don't we just give a shout out to dads? So if you're on pcctoday.com on our live page watching this sermon, and if you're not, if you're on YouTube or Facebook or another platform, you can always jump over to our live page where there's a chat section and you can interact and engage with us throughout the day. I'd encourage you to do that. So in the chat section, why don't you give a shout out to your dad, tell him that you love him, or if you're a dad and you want to give a little bit of blessing and praise and love to some of your kids, go ahead and do that now. So let's just fill the chat section with some encouragement as we start the day off this morning. And it's on that topic of encouragement that we find ourselves today. If you're joining us online today for the first time, we're in a series called Practice Hope, where we're examining the practices or disciplines in a person's life that lead to hope. And today, we're going to look at the specific practice of encouragement, because encouragement leads to hope. On the broader topic of hope, isn't it true that we are living in a time where more than ever, we need hope? It goes without saying that we need much more as well, but in the divided, upheaval-filled culture that we find ourselves in, we most certainly need justice, forgiveness, and reconciliation. We need unity. We need a spiritual awakening, to say the least. There's something special, though, about hope that comes from God. Hope is a powerful weapon in the arsenal of human livelihood. Hope gives us strength to look forward beyond what we see now, to face another day, believing that it's going to be better on the other end, even than it is now. Hope fixes our perspective off of even the worst tragedies, and on to the good that could be. According to Psychology Today, research indicates that hope can help us manage stress and anxiety and cope with adversity. It contributes to our well-being and happiness and motivates positive action. Hopeful people, according to this study, believe they can influence their goals and their efforts can have a positive impact on the world around them. Perhaps most profoundly, though, hope isn't just something that we came up with. It's not just an idea. It's not something that we evolved into. In fact, it is a gift from God, a design within us from God to help us. Proverbs 13:12 says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. In other words, our very source of life is robbed from us without hope. But with hope, and specifically the fulfillment of that hope, we are given life. The picture that Scripture is painting here is a tree of life. In other words, a tree that is ever giving, it's ever producing, it just continues to give life. And that's what hope does for us. This is the life that God intended for you and for me, a life of hope. And in a day and age where things can seem hopeless, will I ever get my job back? Will I get to spend time again with the people that I love and show them some affection? Will I make it financially? Will the brutal, inhuman injustices around me ever stop? Will the leadership of our country ever come together again in unity? Will this hopelessness ever end? In that day and age that we live, I want you to know something today as you watch. There is hope. a for sure hope found in one person, Jesus Christ. And in Matthew 12, we actually see the fulfillment of some prophecy that was previously listed in Isaiah 42 about Jesus and the hope that he will bring. I want to read it to you and just look at it briefly this morning as we get into things. It's Matthew 12, 18 through 21. The prophecy fulfilled in Jesus Christ says this, "Look at my servant whom I have chosen." We're talking about Jesus. "He is my beloved who pleases me. I will put my spirit upon him and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not fight or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. Finally, he will cause justice to be victorious. And his name will be the hope of the world." Look, the answers to our greatest trials today are found in the hope of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who brings justice and mercy, both of which we need. His name is the hope of all the world. And we need to call out to him first and foremost. You know, many of you have joined us for the 714 prayer campaign that was launched last Sunday. And if you're watching any of our social media or getting any of our emails, you would have noticed that we extended that prayer campaign, not just to end today as you're watching this on Sunday, but to extend until July 14th and to include prayer 714 a.m. and 714 p.m. And on that topic of prayer, as we get started in the message today, I just want us to call out to God together. So if you're in your living room with your family, if you're making breakfast and you're in the kitchen, if you're out on the road and you decided to pop this on because you wanted to catch it on your way to the beach because it's a sunny day today, praise God, hopefully you are going to have a great time. But as you are doing what you're doing, let's just call out to God together right now because we need the Lord. We need the Lord as we dive into his word, and we need the Lord in all areas of our life today. So would you pray with me as we get started today? God, we need you. We need you in all of our lives. We have hope that you will help us. We need you in our lives and in our families, our marriages, and raising our children, in being children to our parents, in the culture around us that needs you so desperately. God, we need you today that as we listen to your word, would you please highlight to us and make clear to us the truths of your scripture by the power and voice of your Holy Spirit? God, on this Father's Day, we acknowledge the greatest and most perfect Father of all, you. And so would you go before us today in this time that we dedicate to you. In your name we pray these things. Amen. So, back on track for today, where does encouragement fit into all of this hope? Well, it's simple, really. Encouragement is a catalyst for hope. You know, it's kind of like a chemistry experiment where you have some elements, right? The elements would be a person and then the circumstances of life. And you put them together and it's a jumbled mess. But then you add the catalyst of encouragement. And the end result is hope. Encouragement is the insertion of courage into someone else. It is literally putting courage into another person through your words and your actions and your prayers over their life. Lives are transformed through encouragement. This action is both the insertion of courage into a person and the antidote to a dejected, depressed, and torn down life. And the Holy Spirit is the ultimate encourager. And appropriately, on Father's Day, fathers should be a close second to God. A father's encouragement towards his children really is one of the greatest gifts that can ever be given to them. And what I want to do today is look at a biblical father to draw example from him on how to encourage. Through this story we're going to look at in Genesis 48, so if you're watching this right now and you have your Bible open or you want to, grab your Bible, open to Genesis 48, and we will see a biblical pattern for blessing our children through encouragement and prophetic prayer. Additionally, this message is not only for fathers. The central message of encouragement through words, action, and prayer is essential for any human being. So as you hear me refer to dads a lot today, don't check out if you aren't a dad, because these truths are for everyone. So look at the text with me, Genesis 48, where we find ourselves observing Jacob's final days before he dies. He will encourage his son and his grandsons in a very powerful way. Let's read it together. Jacob was half blind because of his age and could hardly see. So Joseph brought the boys close to him, and Jacob kissed and embraced them. And Jacob said to Joseph, I never thought I would see your face again, but now God has let me see your children too. Joseph moved the boys who were at their grandfather's knees, and he bowed with his face to the ground. Then he positioned the boys in front of Jacob. With his right hand, he directed Ephraim toward Jacob's left hand. And with his left hand, he put Manasseh at Jacob's right hand. But Jacob crossed his arms as he reached out to lay his hands on the boys' heads. He put his right hand on the head of Ephraim, though he was the younger boy, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, though he was the firstborn. And then he blessed Joseph and said, May the God before whom my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this very day, the angel who has redeemed me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they preserve my name and the names of Abraham and Isaac, and may their descendants multiply greatly throughout the earth. Through Jacob's action towards the boys, his words spoken to them and his prayers prayed over them, I want to point out three aspects of encouragement that every person needs to exercise and every father needs to prioritize. So the first would be that very thing, a priority. If you're taking notes today, and I'd encourage you to do that even as you watch online, take notes in a Google Doc or on a journal. It's great to help you retain what you're learning from Scripture. The priority of physical encouragement. So write in your notes, the priority of physical encouragement. In verse 10 through 11 and 13, Jacob physically loves on his grandsons. He kisses them. He embraces them. He lays his hands on their heads and he prays for them. He illustrates what we all know to be true, that physical touch is a powerful tool of encouragement in every life. Now, before I go any further, I want to acknowledge that for some watching today, physical touch has been an abuse instead of a blessing in your life. And let me first just say that if this is the case for you, I'm sorry. That was a sin against you. It was wrong. It was certainly not God's plan for your life, and it's unfair. It could have come from a father. It could have come from another family member, maybe a friend, maybe a stranger. Bottom line, it was hurtful and it was wrong. And just as God offers forgiveness of sin, he also offers restoration and healing for the hurt and abused. This is one of God's specialties. God wants to restore you today, and among his promises for you is that he will never hurt you. God is the perfect father. The only perfect father is God the Father. And in fact, if you want a pastor to pray for you about this or really any other topic as we are in the message today, you can click the request prayer button on our live page anytime during this message, and we have pastors that are ready to pray for you and have a conversation with you right now. That being said, healthy physical touch is not only something we all need, it's also one of the best ways that we encourage others. Research findings on the matter have correlated physical touch with decreased violence, greater trust between individuals, economic gain, stronger immune systems, stronger team dynamics, and overall well-being, just to name a few from the study. Dads, let me just say this, that physical touch, healthy physical touch, must be a priority for our children. Hugging, kissing, wrestling, if you're like my boys, there's a little bit of punching in there. A touch on the shoulder, a hand on the head while you pray. All of this is important as encouragement for your children. In fact, I would challenge you to try this at home today, or try this anywhere today. Prepare to say something nice to your kids. Put a hand on their shoulder, maybe a hand on their head if they're little, or grab them in an embrace, and while you have a captive audience, say, I love you, son. I love you, my daughter. And watch what happens. There's something special about physical touch. I think of how my boys responded to physical touch throughout their childhoods. A time when they most look forward to is often when I would come home from a day at work, and then I'd open the door and they'd come running. They'd say, Daddy, and they'd grab my legs when they were little, and then they'd say, wrestle time. And so many of you dads, you know what this is all about. Many of you kids, you know what this is about. Maybe this is something that you did with your dad or you know, with your mom for that matter. Who knows? Maybe your mom is like super tough, tough moms. Of course, we can't talk about physical touch without addressing the socially distanced elephant in the room. the events of this year, which have led to likely the greatest separation of people in history up to this point, have left us a little deprived of physical connection, to say the least. We all feel it, don't we? And know this from the pastoral staff to you. We love you and we miss you. And we can't wait to get together again and someday be able to shake hands and pass hugs. We don't know exactly when that's going to be, but we're going to keep you posted. And rest assured that when we can, we are going to open. As soon as it is ready, as soon as it is safe, and as soon as we can do it effectively and wonderfully, we're going to open and we're going to be back together again. Have hope. In the meantime, express your encouragement physically with your family. And I would encourage you to get into a Portland community. Get into a community group if you're not already in one. Being together in a small group sure has been life-giving for me and life-giving for my family. So the first of our points today is that physical touch is really important. It's a priority. And to preach the second point, I'm going to invite Pastor Rick Bernheisel to come join me, the newest pastor on our staff, and he's going to take us through another point about encouragement. Pastor Rick, happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, Pastor Matt. Thank you. Thank you. So the second thing we can learn from this is that the potency of verbal encouragement. So if you're taking notes, it's the potency of verbal encouragement. You know, I think that words are powerful and they're effective. We've learned this from all kinds of scripture out there, and we've learned this from our own lives. One of the things that people used to say often, and maybe they don't say it as much anymore, is it's the thought that counts. And I want to tell you that, you know what? It is the thought that counts if it's followed with action. But thought without action is worthless. So we got to have the words to follow it up because our words are potent. For those of us that have circled the sun a few times and have been around a few decades, there's another saying that we used to say was, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, that was a lie, and we all know it, and we've experienced it. We felt it. For this generation, Taylor Swift tells us to shake it off, and that's easier said than done. I can tell you that right now. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has a power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The power of life and the power of death. Words hurt, and they can cut deep. But words can also bring life. Scripture tells us this. The Bible tells us this. And those of us that have experienced this, we know that words matter. Power over life and death. Words shape our thoughts, and our thoughts shape our actions. And Romans 12:2 tells us that we need to transform our mind, not just so that we can just think differently, but so that we can also act differently, so that we can be different. What you say matters. What you say will shape the thought, process, and self-image of those around you. Words are potent and piercing, meaningful, and their destiny altering. You will change the course of somebody's life. You will change the course of your own life. In verse 15 of that scripture passage that we read earlier, he said, then he blessed Joseph, and Jacob said, words. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instructions of the Lord. Bring them up in the training and instructions of the Lord. Don't exasperate them. The only way to bring up somebody is to speak life into them. That is one way that we can do that. It's interesting that Pastor Matt actually asked me to speak on this because, to be honest, this is not my strength. The truth is, I am not by nature an encouraging person. By nature, I have to think about it. I have to pause. I have to give myself some thought process. My strength is that I notice details and I notice the small things that are wrong. In fact, in my career as a manager, as a Marine, as an accountant, that is what has helped excel me because I can see the things that are off. I might walk into a room and there'll be 10 things right and I'll notice the one thing that is wrong. And let me ask you this, if you're a manager, what do you do? Do you notice something wrong when you walk into a room and one person is late? Do you correct them? Or do you encourage the 9 that were on time? When you come into a room and your son has been doing and your daughter has been doing something really well all day long, but they didn't pick up their socks off the floor, do you say, hey, quit being lazy, pick up your socks? Or do you encourage them in all the things that they've done right? Now, some of you might still be caught on the fact that, like, wait a minute, this guy used to be a Marine and an accountant, and now he's a pastor. That's a story for a different day, and we don't have near enough time for that. But we'll get to that some other time. In fact, if we manage well, we manage our employees by encouraging them to do what we want, not discouraging them to do what we don't want. And I will tell you that your family is the same way. Your spouse, your children, men, we need to not only be willing to die for our family, we need to be willing to lay down the remote. We need to be willing to say the words to encourage them and to bring them up in the instruction of the Lord, as it says in Ephesians 6:4. If we shift our thinking and start speaking words of encouragement, that starts by speaking life and truth to those around you. I want to challenge you in a practical way to speak life in words with an acronym, the acronym THINK. If we stop and think before we speak, the T, is it truthful? Now, everything you speak should be true. And if you've heard this before, not all truth needs to be spoken. So your grandma was right. The H, is it helpful? Is it going to be help or harm the individual? Are you trying to be heard and understood? Or are you trying to be right? And then the I, inspirational. Will it build this person up or will it tear them down? N, is it necessary? If I need to say this, I should. But if I don't, I probably just need to hold my tongue. And the Bible has a lot to say about that as well. Is it kind, K? Will it encourage, inspire, and point someone to restoration, or will it tear them down? You know, it's easier to tear something down than it is to build it up. And if you're a contractor or done construction, you know this. It's a lot harder to build a house of cards, but it's really easy to blow them down. So are you building up or encouraging? I think it's interesting because this story is Jacob at the end of his life. And at the end of his life, he's blessing his grandsons. He's talking to his son, Joseph, who he didn't think he would see. He thought he was dead. And if you know the story, you can go back and read it later through Genesis. When this happened, Jacob had already learned through his life that names and words matter. When he had a dream, he renamed the place Bethel. When he wrestled with God, God gave him a new name and said, you're not going to be Jacob anymore. You're going to be called Israel. So Jacob knew this and he knew that it mattered. And actually, one of my favorite stories is actually towards the beginning of his life and right when his last son was born. If you don't know this story, in Genesis 35, you can turn there, and we're going to read verse 17 and 18. But Jacob loved his wife, Rachel. He worked for her for 7 years, and his father-in-law kind of deceived him and then gave him the other daughter. And then he had to work 7 more years before he got Rachel. And in this time, he had some kids with Leah, his other wife, sorry. And then Rachel was like jealous and like, I want kids. And then she finally had Joseph, who later on was thought to be lost and dead. And that's the story we're in now. But then through all this, she starts to pray to God, and I want more kids. And she finally gets pregnant again. But we see in verse 17, and as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, Rachel was, the midwife said to her, don't despair, for you have another son. And she said, breathe her last, for she was dying. She named her son Benoni, which means son of my trouble. But his father named him Benjamin, son of my right hand. See, I think that's important and powerful because Rachel, who wanted a kid, was laying there dying. She breathed her last in her pain, in her sorrow, in the fact that, yes, I'm having a child, but I'm also dying. She said, this is son of my trouble. And the father said, no, my son will not be defined by this moment. My son will not be defined by this time in my life when I'm in pain, when I lost my wife, when I lost my love. My son will not grow up with that. My son will be called Benjamin, the son of my right hand. And Benjamin grew up to be his son. And Jacob looked back at that and defined and changed, I believe, the course of his destiny. See, I think there are people out there right now who have had something happen in their life. Something has happened to you and you are hanging on to that name. Something painful, maybe like what Pastor Matt mentioned earlier. Or maybe somebody has said something to you and tried to give you a name like loser, like ugly, like something like that. And maybe for some of us, that person is us, yourself. Transform your mind. Some of you have a past and you've been given a reputation. You have a name. The words you hear can mold and shape and define you, but there's a Father in heaven who says, you know what? That name will not define you. That moment, your past will not define you, and he wants to give you a new name. He wants to encourage you. He wants to bless you. He wants to bring you out of that. He wants to define you with something new, because your past doesn't matter, and you can leave that behind you, and you can press into the Father. And I think it's powerful, because in the pain, he was given one name, but the Father said no. The Father said no, there's a new name. And the Father right now is saying no, there's a new name for you. There's a Father that says you are not once who you were. There's a Father that says you can, you are, you will be. There's a Father that says you are his, wonderful and fearfully made. There is a Father that loves you and wants to bless you and wants to encourage you. So if you don't have people around you who encourage you, I want to encourage you to be an encourager to others and to yourself, and to say, you know what? I am not defined by my past. I'm not defined by that name. I have a new name. The Father in heaven has given me a new name. I am blessed. I am called. I am redeemed. I am who he says I am, fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't speak in sorrow. Don't speak in anger. And don't let your pain define your name. Think. Use that acronym, THINK, and say, you know what? I will not be defined by what I did or who I was. I will be defined by the man and the Father who created me, the God who walked this earth, became flesh, and dwelled among us. God's word tells us that God spoke creation into existence. In the beginning was the Word. In John 1:1, we know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word became flesh. Acts 4:12 tells us that no other name under heaven has been given to mankind except the name of Jesus, by which we must be saved. And I love Hebrews 4:12, one of my favorite verses, for the Word of God. And if you look at this, and we know that in 1 John 4:8, that the Word, that God is the Word, because in the beginning was the Word. And we know that that Word became flesh and it was Jesus Christ. And we know that through that name that we can be saved. And we also know that in John 4:8, 1 John 4:8, it says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And so when I read Hebrews 4:12, every time I read it, it says, for the Word of God. And I think, for the Word of God, for God is alive and active. For the love of God is alive and active. For the Son of God is alive and active. For the Word of God is alive and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even in dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Where is your heart? What is your name? And encourage those around you and speak life to your friends, to your family, to yourself, because the Father wants to give you a new name. Let his Word penetrate your heart. Let his Word love you. Let his Word give you a new name. Let his Word encourage you, bless you, give you hope and a purpose. Pastor Matt's going to come up here and he's going to tell you, if you've never met Christ, if you don't know the love of that Father, if you don't have that new name, he's going to show you at the end of this how you can do that if you've never done that, and encourage you in the Lord. Pastor Matt.
Thank you, Pastor Rick. I don't know about you, but I'm a little fired up from hearing all that. Very encouraged. I want to bring you to a third point today as we prepare to finish: the prophetic power of spiritual encouragement. As Pastor Rick taught us, the value of our words is very high. And in addition to that, the value of our words in prayer is even higher. Perhaps the most powerful encouragement in the dad tool belt is prayer over our children. There's nothing else that your kids will hear that will be more encouraging than your prayers over them. And even more powerfully than what they hear are the results of prayer that you really can't get any other way. Look at verses 15 and 16 again as Jacob lays this blessing upon his family. May the God before whom my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac walked. What's he doing here? He's emphasizing godly legacy. Dads, you either have the privilege of continuing a godly legacy that's been ongoing in your family, or you have the honor of starting a new godly legacy. Maybe you're the first Christian in your family, and now you're leading that legacy with your children. Maybe you're a part of a godly heritage that's 3, 4, or 5 generations old, with many godly men and women who have led before you. In verse 15c, the God who has been my shepherd all of my life to this very day. You know, when you pray over your kids or anybody to encourage them for that matter. Remember to acknowledge that God has been your guide. He's been your keeper. He's been your protector. He's been your provider. It's important to cultivate an attitude of thanks and praise toward God and to give him the credit where it is due, which frankly is all the time for anything good in your life. Where did that blessing come from for our family? It came from God. Where did the gifts that my children have come from? They came from God. Where did anything good at all come from? It comes from the Lord. One of the greatest lessons that you can teach your children is that their successes in life, your successes and theirs, are not self-made. They're God-made. Look at verse 16, right in the beginning. The angel who has redeemed me from all harm, may he bless these boys. Now, it's true that God dispatches his angels and gives them charge over us to care for us. We see this in Psalm 91, 11 through 12. However, in this case, Jacob is actually referring to the Lord. You'll note in some of your Bibles that the word angel is capitalized. And this is not a strange discrepancy in the Bible. In fact, there are other instances where God or the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ is referred to as an angel in Scripture. The word angel simply means messenger. And there were times throughout Scripture where God shows up and is referred to as such. Here, Jacob is saying that God has redeemed him from all harm and calls for the same blessing over the boys. Note, Jacob is not saying remove all harm. That's not what he is asking for. That's not been his experience in life. He's asking for redemption from harm. You know, sometimes God rescues us from harm. He pulls us out of harm's way. And there are other times where God lets us walk through some things that are not ideal. He's not the cause of hardship, but he'll allow us to go through hardship. And then he'll redeem us from it and through it. In other words, one of the most encouraging prayers that you can pray over your kids is, God, protect my children. And even when they go through hard times and trouble, let them come out of it better than before, redeemed by you. What the enemy intends for harm, will you turn for good? Just like what happened in this story with Joseph. In verse 16, in B and C, the final part of that verse, may they preserve my name and the names of Abraham and Isaac, and may their descendants multiply greatly throughout the earth. Here, Jacob is invoking God's original promise to Abraham back in Genesis 12:2, that God would make his name great. The big idea is that God would continue his promise through these boys. Dads and moms, are there promises that God has made you and they've yet to be fulfilled? Likewise, are there promises in Scripture that you read and you desperately want realized in your life and your children's lives? I wonder if some of those promises will be fulfilled in the lives of your children. I wonder if some of them are being fulfilled now, but will be seen in even greater measure in generations to come. When you pray over your kids, pray God's promises over them. Encourage them and give them hope through the words of Scripture. Son, I know you're scared right now, but you know what? The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still, just like in Exodus 14:14. Daughter, I know you feel weak right now, but he gives strength to the weary and he increases the power of the weak. That's what Isaiah 40:29 says. Children, it's like Isaiah 41:13. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. When I was a kid, my dad would come into my room and my brother's rooms every single night, and he would pray for us when we would go to bed. His prayers, as I look back on them, were prophetic over my life. And I firmly believe that those prayers greatly steered my future. Now I carry that legacy on with my boys. Through simple prayers like, Lord, will you watch over my son tonight? Will you keep him from harm? Will you give him good dreams and protect him from the spiritual attack of the enemy? Will you prepare him for his future? Will you give him good friends and will you make him a good friend? Will you fill him with your Holy Spirit so that he'll be a bold witness for you? Will you guard his body physically and will you let him grow strong and in favor with God and with man? Lord, will you watch over my sons? You can pray prayers like that over your children. and they're helpful in the moment, and they're prophetic towards the future. I want to conclude today by praying for our dads, as well as I want to pray for our single moms, because single moms, I know there's some of you, you're raising your children, and there's not a dad in the picture. Sometimes you worry, man, are they going to get what they could have got with a dad? Well, you know what? There are spiritual fathers in this church that are going to contribute to your children's lives, but a lot of that contribution is going to come from you. God's going to give you what you need to parent your children, even as a single mom. You're a hero for what you do. So I want to pray for dads and for parents in just a moment. And just before I do, you know, we've been talking today, and Pastor Rick made a big deal about this, about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Before we can encourage each other, we really need to acknowledge the greatest encouragement of all time, that there's a God in heaven who loves us. There's a God who loves you, and he's not forgotten about you, so much so that he sent his only son to die for you. The best father of all sent his one son to live a perfect life and to die a horrible death, but to raise from the grave so that you and I could have eternal life. And if you would want to know Jesus Christ, God's son, if you would want to give your life to Jesus Christ today, you could do that by saying a simple prayer right at home or wherever you're watching, just like this. You could say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. Will you forgive me for the things I've done wrong? I say with my mouth, say it out loud right now. I confess with my mouth that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on a cross. I believe that you rose from the grave. Will you forgive me? And will you help me in this life? I can't wait to be in eternity with you in the next life. Scripture says when we pray a prayer just like that, that we're saved in an instant. Jesus Christ saves our souls. And if you said that prayer today, we'd like to get to know you a little more, and we'd like to help you on your faith journey. And really the best way for us to do that is for you to just text Jesus to the phone number we're gonna put on the screen. And it's also 503-455-7445. Just text Jesus and you'll get a response from us right away. And we'll start a relationship with you, and we're gonna pray for you, and we wanna help you as you become a follower of Christ. So as we close today, let me pray over you, dads, on this happy Father's Day. You single moms who are leading, you parents who are maybe grandparents who are raising some kids, that God will help you. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of your fatherhood. You are the great and perfect Father. Lord, not all of us have had perfect fathers, or none of us have had perfect fathers, except for you. And God, I just pray for fathers now who are watching and listening, who are a part of this church family in one way or another, that you'd put your blessing on their lives, you'd make them strong, and you would help scripture to come to mind to lead their children. Lord, for single moms, those who are raising kids on their own, or maybe grandparents who are raising kids, and they need you, God. We all need you. We need your strength, and we need your encouragement. We need you to empower us by your Holy Spirit. Would you help us in raising our children in a godly way, that they may know you, they may be better off than we were or are. That God, even in confusing and hurtful times, our children would grow up loving you with soft hearts to love the lost. Would you bless families today? Lord, would you, as you say in your word, would you bless us and keep us? Lord, would you shine your face upon us? Would you be gracious to us? Would you lift your countenance upon us? Give us peace. We pray these things in your name. Amen. We love you, Portland Christian Center. Happy Father's Day.
Thanks again for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you would like to hear more teachings or find out more information about our church, please visit pcctoday.com.